Hallelujah. You have your Bible tonight. Go with me to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19, we're going to start at verse 9. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. 1 Kings 19, verse 9. The title of the sermon tonight, How to Survive the Long Ride Home. How to survive the long ride home. A subtitle might be Overcoming the Disappointments of Life. The title is How to Survive the Long Ride Home. A subtitle might be Overcoming the Disappointments of Life. Here in 1 Kings 19 at verse 9, it says, Then he talking about Elijah, then he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, meaning God said to Elijah, What are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And so he said, Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound, gentle blowing. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, What are you doing here, Elijah? And then he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And then the Lord said to him, Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram, Jehu the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat, of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall come about, the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death. The one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall put to death. And yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Amen. You know, Elijah was going through a tough time. He was experiencing what I call a long ride home. I wonder, have you ever been there? Have you ever experienced a time when you had a long ride home? How to survive a long ride home. I've been there different times in my life. Thank God for our mountaintop experiences. Thank God for the many times when you're just on the mountain with the Lord and the victory is won. And of course, we always have the victory. Really, that's a misnomer. As a believer, we always have the victory. I said the victory's already been won. Don't matter what you're going through. Don't matter what you feel like. I said the victory's already been won. Amen. We're not trying to get any victory. Jesus already won the victory. You might be discouraged tonight, but let me tell you this. The victory's already been won for you. Praise God. But I've been there many times. I've been on the mountain with the Lord many times, and I've been down in the valley sometimes. And I thank God for the few times that that's happened, but I've been there in my life. It's been a long ride home. Now, you know, when things are going well in your life, man, it's a great ride home, isn't it? I remember a great ride home. Back in late 97 or early 98, I became a senior manager, and oh man, my pay escalated through the roof and all of my business dreams were coming true. And when I found out, oh man, that was a glorious ride home. I've been there on the mountain many times, you know, and the Lord has done something. There are so many times in our life when the ride home is a good ride. You know, when you get the job offer you want, that's a good ride home, isn't it? Get a new car, and that's a nice ride home when you got a new car, isn't it? Ooh, I've been there. Pull out the lot, and oh man, it's just a different ride home when you got a new car, isn't it? You're a lot nicer, aren't you? You just let everybody go. No, please, I insist. You go ahead. The sky just seemed bluer in a new car. Don't let the green grass fool you. If that's not your season for a new car, let me tell you this: there's no ride like the ride of a car that's been paid off. You can't get no amen teaching like that. Now, that's a smooth riding car. Man, when that thing been paid off, man, that thing's smooth. You could be blowing smoke out the back, cylinders popping. That thing's smooth, boy, and it paid off. No, when things are going well, it's an easy ride home. You know, I remember as a supervisor, supervising worldwide 800 number for Thrifty Car Rental, the world headquarters here. I was a supervisor in the reservation center. And, oh, man, I had an unfortunate night. One night I had to terminate a guy. And a sad situation, but it was really cut and dry. He came to work drunk. He staggered in work drunk. He was on time, but he was drunk as a skunk. And of course, you know, that's pretty cut and dry. And so I had to take him to the back and terminate him. But he had driven there, you know, and I couldn't let him drive home like that. And I had to tell him, I can't let you go. And he said, what do you mean you can't let me go? You fired me, didn't you? And I said, I can't let you go home like that. I said, you're going to have to wait. Give me about 15 minutes when I close up things here, and I'm going to drive you home myself. That was a long drive home. That wasn't even my home. Now, that was a drive home. With a drunk guy you just fired. Oh, man, that was a drive home. He wasn't too happy with me. He couldn't remember what happened because the next day he came in and said, I had a dream that you fired me. I said, that wasn't no dream. That day was for real. No, but I've had other times when it's been a long ride home when something didn't work. Something didn't turn out the way I thought it would. It was a long ride home. Tonight's sermon, how to survive the long ride home. I remember several years ago now when I went through a divorce, something I had never anticipated in my life. I would have bet my left arm that I would be the last person to go through a divorce. And I'm left-handed. And it was shocking. I remember one day coming from the court. And I was out here on 169. I was just thinking about what had happened. How did I get there? I'm not supposed to be there. I just come from the court. Oh, my. I was just like shell-shocked. Anybody ever been there? Or just me? And I was coming down the Creek Nation, you know. And on the Creek Nation Turnpike, you know, the speed limit is 65. I must have been driving 40. I didn't realize it. I was shell-shocked. Something had happened in my life of astronomical proportion, and I had not anticipated that. And oftentimes as believers, we go through things that we have not as of yet anticipated. And it can shake you and things can rock you if you're not careful. And as Pastor Hagin loves to say, sometimes you find your head where your feet were and your feet where your head is. And it can be a long ride home. I was out on the Creek Nation. I'm doing 40 miles an hour. I was thinking about what had happened to me. I was shell-shocked. I was in the right lane. Cars was flying by. And one of them was one of my good buddies. He flew by me, and then I got a call. He said, man, is that your Buick on the Creek Nation? I said, yeah. I said, are you behind me? He said, I flew past you. He said, man, how fast are you going? I looked at the speedometer. I said, oh, I'm only going 40. He said, what's the matter? I said, oh, man, I'm just coming from the courthouse. I'm like shell-shocked. Have you ever been through a divorce? You'll know what I'm talking about. If you've never been through a divorce, you may not know what I'm talking about. But you may have been through other situations, circumstances in your life that have caught you off guard, that have surprised you. And perhaps you were walking in faith and something still caught you off guard. And sometimes in life that happens. Go with me, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Elijah, that we're leaving Elijah now, but Elijah, it was a long ride home. Elijah there where we found him. There in 1 Kings 19, where we just read there, you're going to James chapter 1. Elijah, he was shell-shocked. And he got off course. He got off track. They say when you add up the miles from where he was supposed to be to where he wound up, he was some 200 miles off course before God got a hold of him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He was saying, in effect, you're off course here. What are you doing here, Elijah? He was saying, in effect, your faith isn't working right. What are you doing here, Elijah? He was saying, in effect, you've gotten discouraged to a critical point where it's affecting your faith. Now, you've gotten off course. What are you doing here, Elijah? And it don't matter where you go. It don't matter where you hide. You can't hide from God. And sometimes people said, like David said, I'll take the wings of the morning. I'll fly. It don't matter where you fly away. God's going to come check on you. He's going to come see about you. He's going to come to get you. He's going to come to seek after you. Jesus said this way, the shepherd of the sheep will leave the 99 and he'll get out on the cliff to get that one lamb. He said, what are you doing out here on this cliff now? What you doing out here, Joe? What you doing out here, Sally? What you doing out here, Jim? Come on back. I said, he'll come get you. He'll come see about you. Peter found out in the waves of an ocean sinking, and the Lord reached out and grabbed him and said, what you doing down there, Peter? Come on. And the Lord, tonight he's coming to see about you. In James chapter 1, verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when, everybody say when. When you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Everybody say endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know, the Bible says, count it all joy, not if you encounter various trials. The Bible says to you and I to count it all joy when we encounter various trials. Thank God, Jesus has paid the price. Jesus has won the victory. His victory is our victory, and he has given us the victory to overcome in every situation in life. And so, in fact, it really doesn't matter what you're facing. It really doesn't matter how bleak, how dark, how devastating it is. Jesus has triumphed over it. And I said, his victory is your victory. His victory is my victory. I ought to have one amen there. I said, we're seated in heavenly places positionally with him. I said, amen. He's far above and you and I are far above. I said, the Bible says we've been blessed with every, Ephesians 1, every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen. But here it says, count it all joy when, not if, when. You say, brother preacher, I have not encountered any trial in my life. You say, brother preacher, nothing unexpected has ever happened to me. What do you have to say to that? I said, just keep living for Christ. Praise God. Amen. Because sometimes no matter who we are, no matter what, no matter where, sometimes who we are, things sometimes can catch us off guard, can catch us. And if we're not careful, then, something we didn't anticipate. If you're not careful, you'll find yourself getting discouraged. And that is a dangerous place for a Christian. Discouragement is a dangerous place for a Christian. Let me say this. Discouragement is no place for a Christian. Because, look, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6. And discouragement will mess up our faith, will hinder our faith. And so we've got to avoid the land of discouragement, which is why the Bible says count it all joy. Amen. And sometimes when we do that, we have to count it all joy by faith. Yeah. And that's my first point. Listen, walk by faith. Yeah. How to survive the long ride home. Number one, walk by faith. Yeah. And sometimes you have to, by faith, just say, ha, ha, ha. Sometimes you have to, by faith, you have to talk to your soul, and you have to set your soul like you set the thermostat, and you have to say to your soul, there's not going to be any defeat in here, and there's not going to be any sorrow in here, and there's not going to be any more crying in here. This is the house of the Lord, and there's going to be joy in here. And sometimes you have to just say, ha, ha, ha. You say, I'm going through a tough time. You ought to just say, ha, 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 ha. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah 18, y'all said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I said, amen. I said, no matter what you're going through, you ought to be saying, just walk. My first point was walk by faith. Walk by faith. Why? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Walk by faith. And know that what you're going through is temporary. And know that the Lord will bring you out on the other side of that thing. I wish I had an amen in here. And sometimes when a Christian goes through adversity, sometimes they give up. And that's all the enemy wants you to do. He cannot defeat you and I. He's hoping for a forfeit. But he knows if we come up to bat one more time through Jesus, we're going to hit it out the park. All you have to do is get up one more time. Then you feel like you've been knocked down. If you get up one more time, get up one more time. I can't get no amen teaching like that. Go to Psalm 34. Go to Psalm 34. Everybody say, get up one more time. Go to Psalm 34. You're going to make me quote scripture tonight. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Everybody say, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, you may feel like you're going through many afflictions. You may feel like Elijah tonight, 1 Kings chapter 19, but the Lord has come to deliver you out of everything you're going through. I said, I wish I had an amen. I said, you ought to let this come out of your mouth. When you start going through adversity, start quoting scripture like this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him. The Lord delivers her out of them. You can't get no amen teaching like that. I said, the Lord will deliver you out of everything you're going through. Everything coming against you, the Lord will deliver you out of it. I said, amen. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs 24, if you will. Proverbs 24. What was my first point? Well, walk by faith. If you're going to survive the long ride home, walk by faith. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:7 said, walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Amen. I said, amen. Amen. Proverbs, we're going to tell you, Proverbs 24, verse 16. For a righteous man falls 7 times and rises again. I like that. One verse said, a righteous man falls down 7 times, but 7 times he get back up. I said, all you got to do is get back up one more time, then you falling down. And the Lord's going to give you the victory. I said, the Lord's going to bring you through that thing. I said, walk by faith. Go with me to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. You said, what was that first point? Walk by faith. You said, what was the title of this message? How to survive the long ride home. How to survive the long ride home. In Daniel chapter 3 at verse 16, it says this, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath. His facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. He commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. And then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, their clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace of the fire. And even the Bible says, even those who threw them in died because of the heat. And it didn't take long for Nebuchadnezzar to look back in the flame, looking for the three of them. And he saw the three of them alive. And then he saw a fourth man in the fire. I said, the Lord had come to see about them. You know what I like about what they said? They said, we're not going to bow to your statue. And they said, our God is going to deliver us. They were speaking by faith, just like they learned at Rainbow Bible Church. They were speaking by faith. They said, our God's going to deliver us. And then they said this, even if he doesn't, we're still not going to serve you. Woo, that's big. What's that first point? Walk by faith. When you walk by faith, let me just say it this way, and I'm not trying to play semantics, just for the sake of the message tonight. Think of it this way. You know, when you walk in faith, you're believing God for something. You're believing God in faith for something when you're walking in faith. And then, listen, if it doesn't happen the way you expected it to, if when you're walking in faith, if it doesn't happen the way you expected, listen, then walk by faith. If it didn't turn out the way you thought, walk by faith. You were believing God for something. It didn't happen the way you want. Walk by faith. You were walking in faith. Listen, walk by faith. Keep the switch of faith turned on. I said, I wish I had one amen. Don't delay my point there. I'm trying to move on here. You're making me circle the airport. I'm in a circular pattern. I'm in a holding pattern. While your amens catch up to my sermon. No, listen. Walk by faith. When it doesn't turn out the way you thought, don't give up your faith. Don't give up. A lot of times what happens to believers is they get discouraged. And the moment somebody gets discouraged, they quit everything around them. They start saying, well, I ain't going to church no more. What good did it do me? They say, I was going 3 times a week. You know, I'll show up on Easter and Christmas. I'll slow down. I'll go once a week then. I'm going to go once a week. They say, I ain't going to Bible study. I ain't going to link group. I ain't going to school the Bible. I ain't going to, and they quit everything. Say, walk by faith. Listen, they say, well, I somebody says, well, hey, let's go out and have a meal. Now I ain't going out to have no meal. Somebody says, well, hey, let's just get together and have some fellowship. I ain't going to have no fellowship. You know why? Because I don't feel like it. I don't feel like having fellowship. I don't feel like Bible study. I don't feel like worship. I don't feel like it. I ain't doing all that because I don't feel like it. That's where Elijah was. Walk by faith. Make yourself do it. Well, you can't get no amen teaching like this. I said, when you walk by faith, you'll make yourself worship God. You'll say, flesh, I didn't ask you if we were going to worship God. I'm telling you we're going to worship God. I didn't ask you if we were going to declare his mighty goodness. I'm telling you we're going to declare his mighty goodness. I didn't ask you if we were going to bless his name. I'm telling you we're going to bless his name. If you have to bless him by faith, just bless him by faith. Magnify his name. It don't matter, especially if you don't feel like it. Especially if you don't. Make yourself do it. Make yourself lift your hand. See, I'm not asking you to lift your hand. I'm telling you to lift your hand. I said, walk by faith. Don't give up your commitment. They said, our God's going to deliver us. And if he don't, they said, our God's going to deliver us from that fire. If he don't, we still ain't going to bow to you. If we have to go through the fire, we still ain't going to bow. I wish I could get an amen in here. Amen. Go real quick. Isaiah 43. I said, they were believing. They were in faith to be delivered from the fire. But then the king threw them in the fire. The Bible said that not only did the Lord come to get them out of the fire, not only were they not consumed by the fire, when they took them out of the fire, they didn't even smell like smoke. Oh boy. Nebuchadnezzar had to say, this is the God we're going to worship, because no God can save like that God. He said, any God who can come get you out the fire is the God we ought to honor. Any God who can deliver you from the fire is the God we're going to serve. I said, there's no God like our God. I said, you may be going through the fire tonight. Oh, but you will not be burned. You will not be consumed. And when you come through, you'll come through like pure gold. When you come through, hey, you won't even smell like smoke. I said, when the Lord gets done with you, you'll have a new testimony. You'll have endurance you never had before. I said, the fire, you may feel like you're going through the fire. Where did it go? Isaiah 43. If y'all say amen more, we could get through this sermon faster. Y'all slowing my sermon down. This resounding lack of amens is slowing my sermon down. No, y'all are helping me. Isaiah 43. Look at verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Do not, and you could, when it says, O Jacob and O Israel, put your name in there. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. I said, you've got a problem, but you got a promise bigger than your problem. And God said, I'll either deliver you from the fire, or if not, I'll deliver you through the fire. But either way, you coming out of that thing. Yeah. I said, if God don't keep you from the fire, he'll deliver you through the fire. But either way, you coming through it. And when it get done, you ain't going to even smell like smoke. You ain't going to even smell like you've been through that. Walk by faith. Listen real quick. Listen, you've got to remember, when you're going through something like that, don't give up. Don't turn around. Don't relent. God is with you. The Lord is going to see you through. And I tell you, he's going to build such endurance in you. If you won't, and as I say, the enemy can't do anything, but he hopes that you'll forfeit. Let me say this real quick. Secondly, walk by love. When you're in faith and it don't turn out the way you want, walk by faith. Let me tell you this. Secondly, walk by love. Go real quick. Acts chapter 6. You're going to slide into verse 15. Acts 6:15 says, when they looked at Stephen's face, he had the face of an angel. Amen. You know why? He was in court and they had lied on him, and they'd rigged a court to lie on him. They couldn't out-argue him from a scriptural perspective, so they hired some people to lie upon him, to lie on him, and then they were going to kill him. They had a kangaroo court trial, and he knew they had lied against him. But in the midst of the adversity, in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the long ride home, Stephen was there in the court at Acts 6:15. And his accusers, the liars, they looked over at him and they saw his face look like the face of an angel. Amen. What's your point, preacher? Walk by love. Walk by faith. Listen, secondly, walk by love. Why? Faith worketh by love. You can't really walk in faith if you're not walking in love. Don't let people get you out of love. It's so easy to get offended. It's so easy to be hurt. And when somebody has hurt you, there's no way to justify it. We're not justifying any hurt that anybody's caused toward you. But that's not a justification for you to get out of love. Don't let anybody get you out of love. People don't have that kind of power over you. I said, I wish I had one amen there. Go over to Acts 7. Acts 7, 59 and 60. That's about Stephen at the end of his life, after he has an open vision before the Lord. And then they went on stoning him. 59 says they went on stoning Stephen as he called upon the name of the Lord. And then verse 60 says that Stephen, he said, Father, forgive him. He falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice and said, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. So what he said is, look, Father, don't hold that sin against them. In other words, he said, they don't know what they're doing. And people may have caused you trouble. People may have caused you a long ride home. And there's no justification for what people have done, but you can't camp there. You can't stay there. You've got to get up from there. If you don't get up from that place, depression will set in on you. If you don't get up from that place, the reason God said to say to Elijah, what are you doing here? Come on, Elijah, get up. You're 200 miles off course. Depression will set in. When you're off course like that with your faith, depression will set in on you. The wrong attitudes will set in first, and then it'll lead to worse and worse things. And that's why the Lord said, no, get up, get back on course, Elijah, get back on course. You're 200 miles off course. And you've got to stay in love. Walk by love. It's so important that you don't let people, maybe they did it on purpose. Maybe they did it by accident, whether it was purpose or accident, let it go. Don't hold it against them. There's so many. I'll show you one more. 2 Timothy 4 real quick. 2 Timothy, you got to turn real quick. 2 Timothy 4:16. Paul said this: at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. And then he says, but verse 17, 2 Timothy 4, now verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I like that. He said, at my first defense, there were people who should have stood with me, people who should have testified in my behalf. I'm sure he was saying, there are people who I risked my life to bring the gospel to that should have stood with me at my defense. Nobody stood with me. He said, at my first defense, I had to stand alone. I'm sure it was like a long ride home. His first defense. But you can tell he didn't let that stick to him, because he said that they should have stood with me. They didn't. He said, but then the Lord stood with me. And he said, the Lord strengthened me, gave me everything I needed. And God gave him the victory in that session, in that one. But so God gave him the victory in every single one. But there were times when he was on trial and he was set free. And then at the end of his life, he was killed. But the thing about it is the Lord was with him the whole time. And you may not feel like there's anybody standing with you, but the Lord is with you. Finally, let me make this point real quick and run. Let me hit you and run. Is it okay to hit you and run? turn to Genesis 39 real quick. Look, walk by integrity. This is our final point tonight, and we're going to close. I've said to you, walk by faith. I've said to you, walk by love. I'm saying to you, walk by integrity. In Genesis chapter 39, Joseph has been the victim of an evil plot. First by his own family, and then by Potiphar's wife. And when he wouldn't compromise his personal integrity with Potiphar's wife, you know the story, she gets mad at him. And then when he physically runs away from her after her suggestions and her seduction, and he said, there's no way, at verse nine, how could I do this great evil against God? What he was really saying is, I refuse to compromise my personal integrity. Her point was, nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to know. But you know, integrity is what you do when nobody's looking. You can't get no amen teaching like that. I said, walk by faith. I said, walk by love. And I said, walk by integrity. When it's a long ride home, if you'll keep your integrity, in spite of the temptation to do something that's easy, that's not right, if you'll hold on to your integrity. You know, three times here in Genesis 39, if you see verse 2, verse 21, verse 23, in the midst of changing circumstances around him, the Bible says the same thing about him. Verse 2 says the Lord was with Joseph and he became a successful man. Verse 21 says, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Verse 23, the second part says, but the Lord was with him and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Joseph walked by integrity and the Lord gave him favor and the Lord kept him and the Lord strengthened him. And listen, he was in that jail and it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault he was even in the jail. But let me tell you this. Don't blame other people for your problem. Whether, if they did something to you, let it go. Get beyond it and forgive them. If they didn't, stop blaming other people. Don't blame other people. Listen, second, quit complaining. Third, learn to be grateful. Those three things will take you a long way. That'll shoot you out of your situation like a slingshot. I said, stop blaming other people, quit complaining, and learn to be grateful. But Joseph here, listen, he learned how to walk in his personal integrity. In Genesis 50, verse 20, at that monumental moment with his brothers, he says those powerful words. And he says, what you did, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for my good. What you did to harm me, God turned it around for my good. But you can't help but know that his personal integrity had something to do with it. He refused to compromise his personal integrity. I don't know what you're going through, my brother and sister. I just know that the Lord laid these scriptures upon my heart for you tonight. And if you're going through a tough time, this is not the time to back up. This is not the time to quit. This is not the time to give up. This is not the time to throw in the towel. This is not the time to get off course. This is not the time to stop believing God. This is not the time to turn the switch of faith off. This is not the time to stop reading your Bible. This is not the time to keep the word from coming off of your lips. This is not the time to get discouraged. But if you'll hang in there and walk by faith, and if you'll hang in there and walk by love, and if you'll hang in there and walk by integrity, it won't be long. God will see you through. I remember when my dad died and having to navigate through all of that, and I was the executor of his estate, and then he asked me to preach his funeral in his will. He asked me to preach his funeral, to set up everything. And I remember after getting all of that done, shuttling people to the airport, to the train station, to the bus station, getting everybody where they needed to be after the funeral service, I remember it was a long ride home to his house. I had rented this big huge SUV so I could shuttle everybody around. I got them all to where they needed to be, and I was headed back to his house, and there was nobody there but me, and it was a long ride home. Thinking about all that had happened, my dad's home going. And I remember my dad had told me, he said, son, the last time I saw him, he told me, he said, I was going out the door, headed back here to Tulsa, and I'd seen him in New Jersey, and we'd hugged and said our goodbyes, and I was headed out the door, and he said, boy, come back here. And I said, yeah, dad. He said, boy, come here. And I said, okay, dad. He said, boy, come closer. I said, okay. He had me get right down in his face. He said, Bill, listen to me. He said, you're headed back to Tulsa. He said, I don't know when, but somebody's going to call you when you get home. I don't know how many days it's going to take. Somebody, you're going to get a call. They're going to tell you that your daddy died. He said, listen to me, boy. He said, when you get that news, he said, when they're telling you that, he said, I want you to picture me at that very moment. I want you to picture me standing right in front of Jesus, looking right into the eyes of Jesus. He said, because that's exactly where I'm going to be. He said, I'm going to be looking right into the eyes of our Savior. He said, are you listening to me? I said, I'm listening, Dad. And he said, if you'll picture me there where I'm going to be, by the time you get the news, he said, I'll already be there. You know, the Bible said to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. He said, I'll already be there. And he said, so when you get the news, he said, you picture me there. And he said this, he said, you're going to have a hard time feeling sorry for me. He said, I know you'll cry. I know you'll be sad. He said, but just remember, that's for you. That ain't for me. He said, because where I am, he said, I'm going to be in the fullness of his glory. He said, you got it? I said, I got it, Dad. And he was right. About 20 days later, I got that call. And the moment I did, I thought just what my dad told me, just what my dad told me. And I don't know what you're going through. After all of that, it was a long ride back to his house. It was a long ride home. How to survive the long ride home. And I thought I was coming up on a Burger King, and I thought, I haven't lived in Jersey in almost 30 years. And I thought, well, I'll get me a chicken meal. I'm gonna get me a chicken sandwich meal. And I hadn't really eaten all day. And so I stopped at the drive-thru at Burger King. It was a long ride home. And I ordered my chicken meal. And when I ordered my chicken meal, I went up to pay for it. And the teller at the window said, sir, we can't take your money because the car in front of you paid for you. I said, huh? They said, the car in front of you. I said, I don't know anybody here. They said, the car in front of you paid for you. They just looked in their rearview mirror. They saw you, and they paid for your meal. And they said, oh, by the way, they asked for your receipt. They asked me to give them your receipt. So I gave it to them, and they wrote something on it, and they told me, give this back to you. And they said, so here's your receipt that's already been paid for. You know what it said across the top? God loves you. And when I looked at the receipt, I looked a little further down the receipt, and it said, your server today is Jesus. Spelled out the server's name. I'm sure his name is pronounced Jesus. But when I saw it, it spelled Jesus. So the top of the ticket had handwritten, God loves you. Down there said, your server is Jesus. And I was shouting hallelujah. That made my ride home a whole lot easier. It was like the Lord was saying, I see you. I know exactly where you are. I'm going to give you the grace to do everything you need to do. I've got you. I've got your back. And God's saying that to you right now. I see you. I know exactly where you are. I know exactly what you're going through. God said, I've counted every tear. I wish I had a name in there. I got to close. Psalm 56, verse 8. I've counted every tear you've cried. I've put every tear you've cried in my bottle. I've recorded every tear you've cried in my book. Psalm 56, verse 8. Walk by faith. Walk by love. Walk in integrity. Father, tonight, we've endeavored to share that which you've laid upon our heart. And we thank you now. We We trust the Holy Ghost. We trust the mighty word that to do your good work in the hearts, in the minds of people. I pray you'll free people from wrong thinking, from negative thinking. I pray, Father, tonight that you will help people to get into the word so that they won't be discouraged by the wrong type of thinking, that they'll develop the attitude of Christ. Father, I thank you for helping your people tonight. Some are out on a limb. Some are out on a ledge with their faith, with their discouragement. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Lift your hand in this place. You say, I'm out on a limb. I'm out on a limb. I'm out on the ledge. You're talking to me. Lift your every head is bowed. Yep. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Put your hands down. Yep. And so, Father, thank you for touching your people tonight. So many are going through adversity, and it feels like they're not going to make it through. But regardless of their feelings, we know that Jesus has already won the victory. We know that you're going to lift them up. We know you're going to build them up. We know you're going to hold them up. We know you're going to prop them up. We know you're able to make them stand. And so we trust you, Father God, to help your people. We thank you, Father God, for causing great and mighty deliverances. Some are in the fire. And Father, we thank you. You're the fourth man. You're the fourth man in the fire. You're the fourth man. And when they come out, they're not even going to smell like smoke. Encourage your people tonight. Father, what they're going through is temporary. It's temporary. It's passing. It's fleeting. It's not going to last. We know that tough times don't last, but tough people do. Through Christ, we become tough. We receive endurance. We become hardened. And so we thank you, Father, for helping everyone in here. Through your name, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight, as our prayer partners come forward, you may be in need of prayer. You may want someone to agree with you. As these anointed men, these anointed women come, they're not coming to counsel you, but they are coming to pray with you. They are coming to agree with you in prayer. And you're going through a tough time. One can put to flight 1,000, but two can put to flight 10,000. The Bible says this, if two of us agree on earth touching anything we ask, then it shall be done of the Father in heaven. The Bible says all things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous men and women availeth much, making tremendous power available. And so instead of leaving, come on down and let these good folks agree with you in prayer. And the victory that you already have will be manifest even faster. And so we thank you for listening and being attentive tonight. And we thank you for listening to the Lord. Listen to what the Lord is telling you in your heart. You need to get right with God, come on forward. If you've never had a relationship with Jesus, come on forward. They'll pray with you. You need that. You need to be right with him. Want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Come on forward. Men, come to the men. Women, come to the women. Whatever you need. God will help you. God will see you through. God will touch you. That's right. Just come on forward. God's going to touch you. God's going to help you. It's no problem. Yeah. Let the Lord help you. Obey God. Obey God. Obey God. Obey God. Don't come here discouraged and leave discouraged. Listen to the Lord. And I tell you what, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. God's going to help you. He's going to see you through. As we prepare to close, a few of you here, you were our first time guest tonight, as Pastor Marvin was saying. On behalf of our senior pastors, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, we're so glad you came tonight. And listen, if you didn't hear Pastor Hagen, our senior pastor today, come on back on Wednesday and come on back Sunday morning. You'll have a great message from our senior pastor. We want to thank you for being here. We're going to ask you now to go to that place where our connection team members are going to give you a great gift. Pastor Marvin talked about a great gift we got for you. We just want you to go with our connection team member. They're not going to keep you long. They're not going to hold you. Not going to keep you long. Just go with them. They're going to just give you the gift and thank you for being here. And you'll be glad that you went and got that gift. Let's thank all of these who are first-time guests. Thank them for coming again. Amen. All right, saints of God, stand on your feet. Lift one hand to the Lord. Father, as we prepare to go, unto our King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, protect us as we go. Keep us safe. Keep all of those in Oklahoma City safe. We'll give you all the glory till we see each other again. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Those of you coming forward, come on forward. And those of you who are fellowshipping, then stay in fellowship. Or those of you who are leaving, then you're dismissed. God bless you, one and all.